समातुम अर्हसि अपिक्व समातुम अर्हसि अपक अविपक्व बुद्धे समातुम अर्हसि अप अविपक्व बुद्धे यत्तेजसा दुर्विषहेन गुप्ता यत्तेजसा दुर्विषेण गुप्ता विन्दन्ति भद्राणि अकुतो भया प्रजा विन्दन्ति भद्राणि अकुतो भया प्रजा नवैनृभे नरदेव पराख्यम् समातुम् अर्हसि अविपक्व बुद्धे यत्तेजसा दुर्हिषेण गुप्ता विन्दन्ति भद्राणि अकुतो भया प्रजा पराख्यम् समातुमरसि अवपिक्व बुद्धे शेन गुप्ता Matajis. Word to word. No. Never. Why? As matter of fact. Nribhi. By man. By any man. Naradevam. Unto a man god. Paraakhyam. Who is transcendental. Samatum. Place on equal footing. Arhasi, by the prowess, a vipakva, unripe or immature, buddhe, intelligence, yat, of whom, tejasa, by the prowess, durvishahena, unsurpassable, guptaha, protected, Vindanti enjoys Badrani all prosperity. Akuto bhaya completely defended. Praja the subjects. Translation. Oh my God, your intelligence is immature and therefore you have no knowledge that the king who is the best among human beings is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common man. The citizens of state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. So So there is no purport to this. We'll read the text 43. Alakshyamane naradevanamni rathangapanav ayamangaloka tatahi chaura prachuro vingshati arakshamano vivruttavat kshanat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of chariot is represented by monarchical regime, and when His regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with the thieves, who then at once vanquish the unprotected subject like scattered lambs. Purport. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the monarchical regime represents the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. The king is said to be the representative of the absolute personality of Godhead because he is trained to acquire the qualities of God to protect the living beings. The battle of Kurukshetra was planned by the Lord to establish the real representative of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhishthir. An ideal king, thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service with the martial spirit, makes a perfect king. Such a personal monarchy is far better than the so-called democracy of no training and responsibility. The thieves and rogues of the modern democracy seek election by misrepresentation of votes, and the successful rogues and thieves devour the mass of population. One trained monarch is far better than hundreds of useless ministerial rogues, and it is hinted herein that by abolition of a monarchical regime like that of Maharaj Parikshit, the mass of people become open to many attacks of the age of Kali. They are never happy in an overly advertised form of democracy. The result of such a kingless administration is described in the following verse. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitha Shri Vishakham Vithamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Prasha Krupa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 18, titled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. And we read through from text 42 and 43. So the text 42, it talks about, it mentions the immature intelligence of Sringi, the Brahmana boy, who has no knowledge who is the great king, an ideal king like a Parikshit Maharaj. And his father is saying that because of such a pious king, the citizens live in a prosperity. And if there is no such a monarch like a Parikshit Maharaj, then the world will be filled with the thieves and there will be chaos in the society. And Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, that the ideal king is like Parikshit Maharaj, and he gives the example of another ideal king is Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he compares monarch like Yudhishthir Maharaj and their monarchy is far better than the democracy of this world. So notable point from the purport is, he mentions the real representative, the whole thing was to establish the real representative of the Lord like Parikshit Maharaj. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj. That's an example Prabhupada gives in a purport. So Prabhupada mentions an ideal king thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service with the martial spirit makes a perfect king. So he says, trained in culture and devotional service and representative of Lord. Such a monarch is better than any political systems of the current times. So if we see, the major part of the country is illiterate and they are under the poverty. So on what basis should they choose a leader? So do they know whom to elect as a leader? On what basis they should do it? They do it mostly because they are under the poverty, they are illiterate, most of them. So they give preference for who gives them more money or who promises them better things like prosperity in terms of if their future generation going to get any post or positions, will they get some house, will they get some things or like that, right? Based upon that thing, they elect a leader. And that's like, even those politicians also make such a false promises. And do these leaders of the states, have any qualifications? The qualifications which is mentioned by Prabhupada is, Yudhishthir Maharaj was like a trained from his childhood. Yudhishthir Maharaj, in the Vedic times, they were trained into so many subjects. Expert in fighting, expert in protection, expert in judging the pupils and figuring out the lies. But nowadays people are very expert. Today's politicians are very expert. They are very good talkers. Or rather, they are very much very good bluffers. They know how to attract their vote bank and how to give the false promises and how make the people believe on the lies as a truth. So the whole situation is chaotic and is going to be chaotic ahead also. In a regime of Yudhishthir Maharaj, everyone was so happy, everyone was so satisfied, not only the humans, but even the animals were so satisfied that the cows were so satisfied, they used to pour the milk everywhere. Even the pasture ground was wet because of the milk. So there was opulence, plenty of food, plenty of milk, and everyone was with a full of love and care. That was the Vedic times when the monarch like Yudhishthir Maharaj used to rule. So as Prabhupada talks about this ideal king, so there have been many mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many different kings, ideal kings. And one such a reference comes in a fourth canto. There's a whole series of sections where in a fourth canto especially talks about the a tale of a good, a bad, and an ideal king. So it's like Maitreya Muni is describing to Vidura about Dhruva Maharaj and his lineage. And in his lineage comes one of the very good and pious king named Anga. So Anga Maharaj, once he was conducting a sacrifice, and in that sacrifice, despite employing good brahmanas and priests, the demigods didn't came to pick up their share of sacrifice. And that's what made Anga Maharaj greatly aggrieved. So he humbly inquired, did I commit any grave offense or any sinful activities so that the, is that the reason the demigods are not coming? And then priest replied, we do not have any such a finding that you have committed any sinful activity even within your mind. Such was the great character of Anga Maharaj. Such was a good and pious king was Anga Maharaj. But they said, in previous life, it may be because of some of your sinful activity, you don't have a son. And therefore we recommend you carry out a sacrifice for Lord Srihari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he can fulfill your desire. So, as instructed by this priest and brahmanas, Anga Maharaj carries out that sacrifice. And he gets a son named Vena. Now, Vena grew up as a follower of his maternal side. And his maternal side was dynasty of irreligion. So, he became very cruel from his childhood. He used to kill innocent animals. Not only that, he used to murder mercilessly his playmates, as if his playmates are like animals coming for the slaughterhouses. That's how he murdered everybody, all his playmates. Anga Maharaj tried to reform him in a different ways, but he could not change Vena. Then Anga Maharaj thought, people who do not have a son are more fortunate than having a son like a Vena. Because a son, a bad son like a Vena, can vanquish all the good fortune and auspiciousness of our life. So having a no son is far better than having such a cruel son like a Vena, who will destroy the fortune, who will destroy the good name and fame of the dynasty. So King Vena actually had a sleepless nights thinking over this, but he could not reform. He gave up all those thoughts. Then he had another thought and he started thinking, actually having a bad son is better. Now how is that, having a bad son is better? He started thinking, if I would have had a good son, I would have been more attached to the family and its affair and the opulences around me. I could have enjoyed that. But because I have a bad son, I will naturally become detached from all these opulences. And that detachment from these material affairs will arise, and then I can better attach myself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So he gave up all attraction for his greatly opulent kingdom. And unseen by anyone, he departed from his kingdom and went to the forest, proceeded towards the forest. Anga Maharaj left the home. It's like, exactly like Vidura, who could not, he was like checked out from the kingdom of Hastinapur by the harsh words of Duryodhana. But Vidura, he took that as an opportunity to absorb more into the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He took that as an opportunity and started conducting the Dham Yatras and absorb in the bhajans. Rather than thinking of what the misfortune is, rather than getting disturbed by such an action, he used that situation, he employed that situation to better fix up into the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to his bhajan. And same way is Anga Maharaj. Such was a good and pious king, Anga Maharaj was. But as Anga Maharaj has left, sages were finding there is no good ruler, so all thieves will become prominent and there is a chaos in the society. So somebody has to be king. So then they, obviously it was son of a king, Anga Maharaj, that's a Vena. So they enthroned Vena with the permission from the mother, Sunita. And they enthroned Vena. But Vena, as was known, he was very cruel. All the minister opposed his idea, but looked like the sages didn't have any option. So by enthroning Vena, one thing happened was, even the thieves were very fearful of it. So they were also not bothering the praja. But the problem was, if not the thieves and rogues, but cruel Vena was torturing the whole citizens. He was torturing all the pupils. Then sages thought to counsel him and give him good advice. They told Vena, you are a wonderful, you are a king, in a position of king. And a king is supposed to uphold the dharma. He should satisfy the Supreme Lord, allow his citizens to worship the Supreme Lord, allow to conduct the sacrifices. But if you stop all these things, you are disregarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are disregarding the Brahmanical culture. That is not good. As they were advising, counseling Vena, Vena became very furious. Vena said, don't you know, king is a Naradeva. That means he is as good as God. All the demigods are in the body of king. And that's why you all should start worshipping me. He started counter-advising to the sages that you should all worship me. And he started boasting about himself. So, yes, king is a representative of the Lord. But he is a caretaker of the subject on the behalf of God. So, Prabhupada mentions, if one is a president or a king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. So, according to the Vedic system, the king is considered a representative of Godhead and is offered the respect by the citizens as God in the human form of life. Prabhupada mentions this. So, king is supposed to be appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he should work for the interest of the people, interest of the planet. So, it's like, you know, guru is considered as a representative of God. So, disciple may worship guru as good as God. But guru should not think himself as God. And that's how it goes. King can be worshipped or given the respect as good as God, but he should not consider himself as a God, but he should be just a caretaker on the behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This King Vena cannot understand. So the great kings, they were very responsible in taking the instructions given by the great personalities, great saintly personalities, and they will first accept the instructions and authority of such a saintly personalities, and then they will execute their monarchical power. But nowadays, people have altogether different feeling of what the monarchical power is. They take monarchical power as like an authoritarian power. They think that as a autocracy. But it was not in the Vedic times. This monarch used to accept the authorities of the sages and then they used to rule. So King Vena was exception for this. So demons actually cannot accept the authority. They disobey the authority. And one who disobeys the authority is sure to fall into a sinful path and he will lose all his good fortune. King Vena was so puffed up and impudent that he dared to respect the great saintly personalities and brought his own ruination. Sages thought that he is so puffed up, he doesn't have a right to sit on the throne, and that he is disregarding the position of Lord Vishnu. Such an offender cannot have a right to be as a ruler. And they chanted mantras to kill Vena. So, Brahmanas that time had a power to kill, but they didn't use that power for any selfish purposes or any bad purposes. They never misused it. So this was the King Vena, who was such a bad king. So now there is no more king. The situation is back to square one, where there is no ruler. And sages could see the dust storm created by the thieves and rogues. So the sages came together, and from that Vena's dead body, which was preserved by Mother Sunita, they churned and they separated all the impurities which is coming from this maternal side. And then they churned, and from that auspicious portion that was coming from Anga Maharaj, appeared King Prithu Maharaj along with his consort Archi. So who is Prithu Maharaj? Prithu Maharaj is Shaktavish Avatar, or is called as he has a Palana Shakti, that means the ruling potency. So as he appeared, everybody was very joyous, because Prithu Maharaj is an ideal ruler unlike King Vena. So he was an empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and he exhibited all such a wonderful qualities of a king when he ruled the planet. So when he was coronated, so he had like wonderful different qualities. When he was coronated, there are bards who are glorifying. They are meant to glorify the king, compose a poetry on the king. So when they were glorifying Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj gave a very grave speech, and he said, "I have just appeared, and I have not manifested any qualities which are you mentioning. So if you glorify me for something which I have not yet manifested, this is not a good glorification. So this is not a good fame." Actually, Prithu Maharaj, Prithu itself means famous. So he was famous. But he didn't accept that glorification. And further he says, "Even if I manifest these qualities, don't glorify me in my presence. Glorify me in my absence, if at all you want to do it." That was as a character of Prithu Maharaj. He was so modest. He was so humble. He said, "You should rather glorify the great personality like a Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and not person like me." So instead of feeling puffed up or feeling great, as he was receiving so many presentations from the different demigods, he started saying that, "I don't deserve this." That was his modesty. Whereas King Vena was wanting the praja should worship him, and they should perform the sacrifices for him, considering him as a supreme. But Prithu Maharaj, he was, "I don't deserve this." That was his humility. So humility is like that necklace of a devotee's. And Prabhupada says humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Although he was like a very powerful king, and while instructing his citizens about the way of life, he presented himself very in a humble manner, and without any tinge of pride, he was ruling. So Prabhupada mentions, he did not, however, present himself as a royal authority empowered to command everyone, for he wanted to present his statement in the humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly person. Though he has all the rights, but he was putting forward his opinions in a very humbly in front of all the great sages. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble and meek and honest that he presented his statement for approval in order to clarify his mature decision. And that is the monarch who take into the account the authority of these great sages, who takes the approval from the sages before carrying out any such a decisions. So that was a humility of Prithu Maharaj. So even when he received a very opulent reception by his praja, his citizens, Prithu Maharaj was not at all proud. He was prideless. So he was prideless, as Prabhupada says, as like a tree who is full of fruits and flowers, he naturally bends down and he is, shows his submissiveness. And that was the character of Prithu Maharaj. He was never proud of any wonderful phenomena. Though he was manifesting such a wonderful character, another quality of Prithu Maharaj was his hospitality. Even though he was like an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord, as an ideal king, he taught by his personal behavior how to receive the great personalities like Sanat Kumaras, all the four Kumaras. He washed their feet and showered their Charanamrit on his head and to all the family members' head. That was his hospitality and his commitment. He was so committed to the welfare of his citizens. He would labor hard as if something is for, he is endeavoring for his personal lead. He was laboring hard for the welfare of citizens as if something is of his personal lead. That was his genuineness. So now if you see, it is very hard to find that genuineness into the current day politicians or leaders. Genuine feeling for the welfare of the citizens. They always look back for the votes. They look back. They always look forward for their vote bank and how their vote bank can be taken care well, so that in the future they will again come back to the power. So Prabhupada mentions his philanthropic activities were not for the sake of show, but were performed out of personal feeling and commitment. Now, today's politicians or leaders, they do something good welfare, but they make sure that they are reporters and they take a good pictures and that pictures are circulated in the media. Even if it is the smallest something, but they make sure that they take as a photo opportunity. So this is are the rather today's politicians. But King Prithu was not doing it for the sake of any show. He was serving with a commitment to his praja. And one of the major quality of Prithu Maharaj, for which he is glorified, is forgiveness. So when he was at the peak of his success, he was about to receive the peak of his success, but he withdrew. So that is the episode where he was missing his century. So Prithu Maharaj, he was on the 99th sacrifice, and the set target for him was a 100th century. But Indra became very insecure and he started obstructing this sacrifice. He applied all the means to stop the 100th sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. And that reminds me of one time when India was playing with an opposing country in a cricket match. So it was just a one run was required for winning that match. India was chasing. And it required just one run. And there are ball in the hand, there are number of overs in the hand, and there are number of wickets in the hand. So there was no way that they could miss out the victory. But this opposing, that bowler, he thought, okay, but the situation was like that the batsman, is not that the India only need one run to score the victory, but even the batsman wanted just one run to complete his century. So now this batsman, he thought, okay, anyway, they are going to win. But can I devise a certain way that he will miss his century? And he devised a way, he bowled no ball. So as he bowled no ball, India got a one run and they won the match. And the batsman could not score. And he was not out on 99. He was devoid of his century. So sometimes, somewhat similarly happens here. Prithu Maharaj, he was missing his 99th. So Brahmaji, and actually Indra was obstructing. Indra was devising so many means to stop the Prithu Maharaja's sacrifice, 100th sacrifice. So Brahmaji came and appeared there on the sacrificial arena, and Brahmaji told to Prithu Maharaj to stop the 100th sacrifice because it is provoking Indra so much. He is committing more and more offenses, so better you stop that 100th sacrifice. And Prithu Maharaj, so Brahmaji asked, so Prithu Maharaj was actually not hankering for any name and fame. So he followed Brahmaji's word. He was obedient to Brahmaji's words. So those who are actually obedient to such a saintly personality, like a elderly personality and such a guru, Guru Varga, so they actually receive Krishna into their heart. So obedience to such a personalities, the great personalities, invokes the remembrance of Lord Shri Krishna. So because of abiding Lord Brahmaji's word, Prithu Maharaj actually got not only remembrance of Lord, he got a darshan of Lord Vishnu. Not only words, darshan of Lord Vishnu, he got to hear from him. And such a wonderful glorification Lord Vishnu gives to Prithu Maharaj because just he abided by Lord Brahma's words. So sometimes we see success in this material world is counted when we reach our set target. Like success is like a highest score in the exam, or success is like getting a highest run in the cricket, or winning certain position through this expertise or skills. That's what the success is counted. Like for that batsman, he in his stats, there will be no mention that he got not out on 99. And that's not how the trick played by that bowler. And the stats will never show his success, right? But in a spiritual life, life is exactly opposite. Success is not based upon some stats, whether Prithu Maharaj could complete the 100 sacrifice or not. Success is based upon whether we are pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. And that's exactly happened. He could have an audience, Prithu Maharaj could have an audience of Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu was pleased. Even though the 100 sacrifice remained incomplete, it could not get complete. But Lord Vishnu was pleased by the attitude of Prithu Maharaj. But we see in contrast to the Vena didn't hear any saintly person's advice. Rather, he advised them back that what should they be doing it, right? So, Shukdev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto, he says, Ayushiyam yashodharmam lokanashish evacha hantisheyamsi sarvani pumso mahat atikrama. So he says, my dear king, when a man prosecutes great souls, all his benediction of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings and promotions to the higher planets will be destroyed. And that's what happened with the Vena. Prithu Maharaj, with his large heart, he forgave Indra, because the father doesn't like that his children fight amongst themselves. So Lord was very pleased when Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra. So same we see ideal king like a Parikshit Maharaj. He accepted that curse of a Brahmana boy, Sringi, though Parikshit Maharaj was an emperor and he could have executed his power of emperor and punished Sringi, but he didn't do that. He had a power to curse back Sringi also, but he didn't do that. But Parikshit Maharaj just accepted that curse of a Sringi as a blessing. So he forgave Sringi. So Lord is very pleased when we forgive somebody for their offenses. Like we see in the episode of Draupadi, she forgave Ashwatthama. Although Ashwatthama committed such a heinous crime, he killed all her sons, but she still forgave Ashwatthama. Prahlad Maharaj, in spite that so many atrocities were conducted by his father on him, but rather he forgave father, rather he asked for liberation for his father to Lord Narasimhadev. And we see Dhruva Maharaj also, on the good advice of Mother Suniti, he forgave stepmother Suruchi. We see Vidura, who was like offended by Duryodhana, by his harsh speech, but he left the kingdom and he forgave Duryodhana. And he was absorbed into the dham. So that forgiveness, that quality, Prithu Maharaj is well known of. So forgiveness is actually act of intelligence. Now how do we correlate forgiveness and intelligence? So Lord Vishnu, when he appears, he says to Prithu Maharaj, Sudhiya sadhavo loke Naradeva Narottama Nabidruyanti Bhutebhyo Yarinatma Kalevaram.
So Prithu Maharaj is addressed by Lord Vishnu as a Sudhiya. Dhiya is an intelligence and Sudhiya is a good intelligence. Sudhiya is a good intelligence. What the good intelligence is, Sudhiya also means highly advanced personalities. Now how good intelligence? Good intelligence means not that expertise into the material, any material subject matters, but good intelligence means they adopt the essence of scriptures and adopt into their life. And by that, they become advanced into the knowledge and they apply into their life, they become advanced devotees. So, Sudhiya means good intelligence, that means the advancement. So, if somebody is intelligent, then they developed, who's advanced into spiritual knowledge, they develop this quality of forgiveness. They don't look after some discrepancies and they easily forgive others. Now, they have a lot of magnanimity of forgive others of their offenses. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he says, as like a madman is not punished, is excused by the judge, even though he has committed a murder, because he is a madman, because of the influence of that madness, he has committed that mistake, so he is also forgiven. That's how Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra, because he knew he is in the acting because of his modes, and that's why he easily forgave. So that intelligence is with the advanced devotees. So here the kings are addressed, Prithu Maharaj is addressed as a Sudhiya. And interestingly, such an ideal king says like a Parikshit Maharaj is also, he has advanced devotees and they also have that quality of forgiveness. And interestingly, this verse mentions Sringi as a vipakva buddhi. That means immature in intelligence. They act based upon the modes. So Parikshit Maharaj as an ideal king forgave Sringi. Now how is that Prithu Maharaj, as they says, advancement, forgiveness and advancement actually means how was the Prithu Maharaj was advanced? So Lord Vishnu, he mentions, Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrusha deva mayaya shrama eva parmam jato dirgaya vriddha sevaya. How is that Prithu Maharaj could gain that advancement? So Lord Vishnu mentions, if a personality like you who are so much advanced because of executing the instructions of the previous acharyas. Executing the instructions from the previous acharyas. Dirgaya vriddha sevaya. Dirgaya, that means for the long time. Vriddha sevaya, that means serving the superiors, serving the guru varga, serving the spiritual master and the parampara. So Prabhupada mentions, perfect knowledge is acquired from acharyas or liberated souls. No one can be perfect in knowledge without being trained by the parampara system. So king has to be trained into the parampara system. So intelligence means good intelligence. Sudhiya means advancement. And that advancement is borrowed from parampara. Hearing from the parampara. Prithu Maharaj was advanced and that's why he could have that broad-mindedness. What was that broad-mindedness? So, again explained by the Lord, he says, when the heart is cleansed of all the material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent and he can see the things equally. At that stage of life, there is a peace and one is situated equally with me, Lord is saying to Prithu Maharaj, as a Satchidananda Vigraha. So, sometimes, with the petty things, our narrow-mindedness, our consciousness get trapped into the petty things of this world. I don't have this or I didn't get that. How can I gain that? So petty things capture our consciousness into the material things. But when somebody has a broadness of field, he easily let go of the things. And that was Prithu Maharaj's. He had such a broad-mindedness that he gave up. On the advice of Brahmaji, he gave up 100 sacrifices. And then Prithu Maharaj showed such a cooperation. So, to err is a human, but to forgive is a divine. So, when someone repents for the mistake and seeks the forgiveness, we should not fill them low of themselves. So Prithu Maharaj was very magnanimous enough to appreciate that attempt of Indra to change. And we could find this quality in the Prithu Maharaj, that he wanted to cooperate. He lovingly embraced Indra, and rather he became free of envy and anger. So in a Prabhupada mentions this wonderful point. He says, both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry. Why Prithu was angry? Because again and again, Indra was devising certain way and putting obstacle into 100 sacrifices. So that's why there could be an anger. So they were angry and envious with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. Prabhupada makes that point, a cooperation between the society of Vaishnavas, that they have to, as they have the duty towards the Supreme Lord as a Vaishnava, so they should adjust the cause of their envy. So that was such a cooperative behavior, such a wonderful quality displayed by Prithu Maharaj. And such a wonderful qualities Prithu Maharaj was filled with. So Lord, after offering his benedictions and instruction to Prithu Maharaj, Lord was about to leave, but he mentions that seeing the Prithu Maharaj such a wonderful captivating qualities, he doesn't feel like to leave from that sacrificial arena. He was captured. Lord was captured. Lord's attention was captured. He could not leave because of the wonderful qualities of Prithu Maharaj. Because Lord was pleased by the attitude of Prithu Maharaj, that he forgave Indra and embraced, treated him very lovingly. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, do not try to see Krishna, serve him in such a way that he comes to see you. And that's what happened to Prithu Maharaj. He acted in a such a way that Lord Vishnu came and to see him. And Lord Vishnu doesn't want to leave. He was so much captured by the wonderful qualities of Prithu Maharaj. So while ending this section, Maitreya Muni, he describes the Prithu Maharaj as a Adi Raja. And Prabhupada mentions this. So he's described as a Adi Raja. Adi Raja means the original king. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Just as Krishna is addressed in a Brahma Samhita as a Adi Purusha, that means the original personality, the supreme personality, so is the King Prithu, being an empowered incarnation of the Lord, is referred to this in this verse as a Adi Raja, that means the original or ideal king. So that is the character of an ideal king like a Prithu Maharaj. So what was the ideal character of any king? Lord Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Shauryam Tejo Dhriti Daksham Yuddhe Chapiya Palayanam Danam Ishvara Bhavasya Shatram Karma Sabhavacham. That means heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in a battle, generosity and leadership are the natural qualities of work for Kshatriya. So Prithu Maharaj not only had these qualities, but he was a great devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions he was an ideal king or an Adi Raj. He was a great devotee. He was a great hero who conquered all undesirable elements in his kingdoms. He was so powerful, but he is powerful to fight even to Indra, the king of heaven. He was giving a protection to his citizens. He was not collecting the taxes for his personal benefit, but for the welfare of the citizens. And he was Krishna conscious and making his all citizens Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada mentions, in the purport he mentions, the great calamity in a life is to become godless and therefore sinful. If the stable head or a king allows the citizens to become sinful by indulging in illicit sex life, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, then the king is responsible. And we see now in generations, there is so much freedom given for all these activities, And he has to suffer, the king has to suffer, the resultant sequence of reaction for the sinful lives of the citizens, because he levies the taxes on them unnecessarily. But Prithu Maharaj he rather stopped all such activities. And for such wonderful qualities Prithu Maharaj exhibited and Prabhupada, right? These are the principles for a ruling power as a Prithu Maharaj. And because Maharaj Prithu observed all the principles of a ruling chief, he is referred as a Adi Raja or ideal king. So these are the wonderful qualities which were manifested by Prithu Maharaj as an ideal king. So we saw in the purport how Prabhupada is describing about Parikshit Maharaj and an ideal king. He forgives the Shringi, and we refer from the fourth canto how there is a good and pious king like a Anga Maharaj, how Vena was acting as a bad king, and ideal qualities and ideal character of Prithu Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes. Yes.
Whatever we won in the war due to Tashkent Pact, and in 1971 war, in 1971 war, 93,000 soldiers surrendered to us under General Niazi, and we have to release them. So would you like to comment on this?
Okay, forgiveness doesn't mean that we get, I don't know about what the history you are talking about. I am not having a detailed knowledge of what the history you are talking about. But in a sense, I can say is, forgiveness doesn't mean that we let others to exploit ourselves. So, forgiveness means that we don't hold upon the grudges and we continue our duties. But whatever action is needfully taken, we should take that. And we should see if the reforms can happen properly. But doesn't mean that we let others to exploit ourselves. We don't allow somebody to exploit ourselves. I think that satisfies the answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.